This is the Age of Mind podcast. Welcome back to the Age of Mind podcast. I'm your host, TJ McGraw. Today, I'm bringing on somebody that I respect a great deal in the industry. He is out of Louisville, Kentucky. His name is Scott Hack. He runs a team, actually runs a brokerage up there, an independent brokerage, and he puts on a fantastic convention every year called Real Estate Distilled, and we're going to talk about that. It's amazing. It's coming up on February 27th through the 29th. Go check it out on the website. I'm going to have the website in the show notes. You just Google Real Estate Distilled and it'll come up first thing. So definitely a must go to. If you haven't been there before, go to Real Estate Distilled. It's amazing. Let's get into the conversation with Scott. Today we're going to talk about what to do, not just at Real Estate Distilled, but what to do before, during, and after, like, you go to a convention to get the most out of the convention. Like, how do you prepare yourself? You want to get the most out of it. So what do you bring? What do you do? What do you prepare for? What do you look into? What do you do while you're there? All that stuff. Scott's a master at it. Let's get into it. Let's welcome Scott Hack. All right, back again, Age of Mind podcast. I'm here with Scott Hack today from Finish Line Realty and Real Estate Distilled, an awesome conference that I'm gonna let Scott talk about. Scott, man, thanks so much for coming on and chatting with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to share with your audience and see if we can share some knowledge to impact their business.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the real reason I want you on here today, or I invited you on, is because you by the time this is aired, you will probably already have done this in your Facebook group with Real Estate Distilled. Talking about what to do, but how to prepare when you're going to a conference, things to bring and stuff like that, which I think is a great topic, because I know when I first got into real estate, I would just go to conferences and without much of a plan.
Yeah.
But you get much more value out of it if you go into it with a plan, for sure. So we're going to dig into that. But first, before we do that, like, just tell us what about Finish Line Realty. That's your brokerage. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you're up in Louisville, Kentucky. And then I want to talk about Real Estate Distilled, the conference, of course, because I think that's an amazing, amazing thing you got going on there. And then we'll dig into the meat of.
Okay. Really appreciate, like I said, the opportunity. So Finish Line Realty is a brokerage that I started. We're almost 13 years old. So I think May 2nd or 3rd actually is our birthday. And so it's me and about 10 agents. We are an independent brokerage. We are tech heavy. Most of the business is generated from website and then, of course, our sphere of influence. So, that's a big piece of it. We operated virtually for a really long time. And then I guess it was October of 2022, my wife and I bought an office condo, and we've slowly been building that into our media and training center. We're actually in the process of setting up a podcasting studio in there ourselves. And that's kind of part of our focus for 2024 is actually launching that. So we're excited to move that direction.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. And I know I could ask you a gazillion questions. We could take all day talking about just your brokerage and how you're set up and what you do for leads and all that stuff. But I really do want to talk about Distilled. So that's coming up, right? In February. What are the dates on that?
Yeah. So Real Estate Distilled is taking place on February 27th, 28th, and 29th. So this is a leap year, so we all get an extra day this year. So we're asking agents, brokers, team leaders to invest in themselves, to spend that extra day with us in Louisville. We've got 3 days of content, workshops, breakout sessions, and keynotes that are all taking place during those 3 days. And for those that are not super familiar with Louisville or have not traveled here, some people consider us in the Midwest. Some people us consider in the South, and always tease that you can go to most of the restaurants and order sweet tea, which I feel like is a Southern thing. Mm-hmm. But we do have all four seasons here, and it's a really affordable city. That's one of the things that, you know, our hotel, for instance, our block hotel is $141 a night. And we're able to keep our ticket costs right under $300, right around $300. And we, of course, invite people to come in town, be thirsty for knowledge, learn. But potentially also take in a bourbon distillery tour while they're here, and do a little bit of bourbon tourism.
Nice. Now you're talking my language right there.
Yeah.
I'm curious though. What possessed you to start a conference? I mean, it's It seems like, for me, it seems like an overwhelming task and a big undertaking. So where did that all come from?
Yeah, TJ, you're a smarter man than I am. So you realize that from the beginning. For me, so this is going to be our sixth event in 7 years. And so my wife and I do the conference together. She has a background in nonprofit work and board development, fundraising, sponsorship. So, and she had a lot of connections already with our convention and visitors bureau, working with hotels, helping with the room block and our space and things like that. So when we first started kind of kicking around the idea, I really wanted to take all of my agents and do an experience together. And at the time, the only thing I really knew about was it was Inman, and that was going to be really expensive for $1,000+ ticket. Hotels in New York City, flights up there. So in my, you know, being naive, I thought, you know, this is going to be cheaper and easier to do a conference. and thankfully, my wife's really supportive. And when I, you know, brought the idea up to her, she's like, let's do it. And we jumped in, you know, with both feet and been going ever since. We had a lot of early support from some local businesses that are in the real estate space, which also made it a little easier to get started. So we've got a great sponsor in Sierra Interactive. They've been with us since the very beginning. And then one of their add-on partners, GGMS, also was pretty quick to jump on board with us and just been growing and doing things, you know, slowly ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's kind of like a true entrepreneur, like you created it out of necessity, basically, because you wanted something for your agents, but Inman was kind of like out of reach. I totally get that.
Yeah, it was out of reach. And like I said, I think, you know, in hindsight, maybe it would have been a better choice and easier to do. but obviously now at this point, since we're on the other side and moving into our sixth event, there's so much value that I get out of the community. It's a ton of work. I don't want anyone to not think that. It is a ton of work, but all the connections, I mean, obviously, our connection wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have had the connection with Neil, and then I would not have, you know, been connected with you through that. So just all those connections have been really important to my business. It's hard to measure that, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. It's how valuable is that? I mean, especially that now that you're like several years in, and I just can't imagine. I know several agents that have been, they can't say enough good things about it. And, so it's really, it's a great thing. Before we dig into like what, you know, how to prepare for not just Real Estate Distilled, but other conferences that you might be going to, like what, if any agent that is on the fence about going to Real Estate Distilled or they haven't heard about it until now, like what would they expect from going and visiting you in Louisville for the conference?
Yeah. So first of all, couple different places. We've got a Facebook group they can join. So if they search for Real Estate Distilled for the Facebook group, we've got a website, realestatedistilled.com. They can go on there, see our speakers, see what our topics look like, that sort of thing. We do have an Instagram account, which I'm slowly trying to learn how to use. It's definitely my least polished social media channel. So I'm trying to, you know, learn. But, you know, we're going to have approximately 150 agents that will be in attendance. We have attendance from 20+ different states. Actually, I think we're probably pushing close to 25 this year. And for 3 years, so this is going to be, I think, the third of 6 years, we're actually going to have a few people from Canada as well. So international, have a little bit of reach that direction. So I think I mentioned a little bit, but like day one, we got set up as workshops. So you've got your choice of a morning session, afternoon session, 3-hour workshops, the deeper dive into some different topics. Day two, we've got set up mostly as breakout sessions. So we've got 3 different rooms going, and they've got an opportunity to pick from one of those 3 rooms throughout the day. And then day three, we end just a little bit earlier. And so we go from roughly 9 to 3 on day three. And it's keynotes. So we're all in the same room that day and a little bit earlier, just in case someone wants to try to grab a flight home and get back home and get caught up and start implementing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is not, so I've been to a bunch of conferences, and a lot of times it's just kind of a big commercial to like join something or
sure.
or so I'm with EXP, so I can definitely say like there's conferences with that EXP has put on that I've been to, but it's a big commercial for to join EXP. I mean, there's a lot of good value in there, don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit of a turnoff because I'm like, if I'm going to go spend the money and go to a conference, I want value, education. And that's what your conference does. Like they're not going to sit there. It's not going to be a timeshare type of thing. It's all value and education, and you're going to walk away with knowledge.
Yeah.
And
that's our cornerstone, is we're really trying to provide value. And to your point, like we're not a software company, we're not a coaching company. And yes, there's a lot of value offered in those types of setups, but, really the reason why that we do Real Estate Distilled is for the community and, you know, for my agents. So we're trying to do education. It's not a loss leader or a marketing thing that we're doing to sell something. We have sponsors, so don't get me wrong. There are things there that, you know, people are going to want to tell you about and hopefully that you're going to be interested in buying. Mm-hmm. But as an organization, we don't have something that, you know, we're trying to pitch as part of it.
Yeah. Which is great. I think that's amazing because it's getting more rare nowadays.
And we really are trying. We try to find speakers that are actually in the trenches. You know, that's a big part of, you know, what we're trying to do. People that are doing the work every day. So these are not concepts. I call it astronaut talks. We really encourage the speakers to get into the trenches, not give the 20,000 foot view, really do tactical ABC 1, 2, 3, do these items from, you know, this is how you're going to implement this concept, or this is how I did it. Here's the steps to do it. Here's a template to do it. Here's a printout or a template you can start with. So we're really trying to get the speakers to distill, you know, their information.
Yeah. I love that. That's amazing. Cause you're right. Oftentimes it is pretty lofty.
Yeah.
And it's like, just tell me like, step one, step two, and step three, and then we'll go from there. Cool. Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for that. Just a little plug. If you haven't looked into Real Estate Distilled, if you're listening, go check it out. I'll have the link in the show notes for the website and the Facebook group and all that, and we'll talk about that later on. So let's dive right in. So what do I? I got my tickets for Distilled. What do I do now? How do I prepare?
Yeah. So I think there's three different steps of being prepared for a conference. Obviously you've got before, during, and after. So before the conference ever takes place, you need to start setting up a plan. You need to start identifying who's going to be there that you want to make a connection with. And it can be people that you already know online that you've not met in person, or even people that you've met previously. It's okay to spend some time with people that you already know and strengthen those relationships. But I do think that you need to devote a percentage of your time to making new connections. So, be intentional about it. Go ahead and reach out, introduce yourself to three or four people. You know, make those lunch and breakfast, happy hour, dinner plans. I think one of the easiest ways to make connections, if the event doesn't have organized dinners, do some research, find a couple restaurants, make sure they have a flexible cancellation policy, make a reservation for 12. And as you're meeting people through the day, make sure you're getting their contact information and inviting them to dinner. Because I'll tell you, there are many times where I've not done this myself, and you finish the conference and you're like, what am I going to do? And you're standing around and you're looking for someone to step up, be the leader, tell you where you're going to end up going, or you're trying to figure it out. Like, oh, like, do I want to invite, you know, so-and-so? So if you take the intention from the very beginning and start inviting people as you meet them throughout the day, and then as a quick pro tip, get there a little bit early. So if you set your reservation for 6:30, you know, get there 10 or 15 minutes early and sit in the middle of the table. I mean, it's like any other social thing you do. If you're on the end of the table, then you've got like three people you can talk to. You sit in the middle of the table, then you've got, you know, at least five or six that you can actually be within earshot. So be that's intentional good, about good where tip, you're sitting yeah. at. Mm-hmm. Also.
So that's a good one. I love that. And I have a background in the restaurant business. So I'm just like food. And when people are relaxed and there's something about sharing a meal, that like people let their guard down. So that's a super, super great tip.
Yeah. And then I think that, you know, if the event has meals, I would say be intentional also about who you're sitting down with. You don't need to sit with the same people every single day. Move around. Obviously, you know, if you have an opportunity to get up, that's one of the things that we're kind of excited about at Distill this year is with the breakouts. Instead of people sitting in one table the entire day, they have the opportunity to be around other people through the different sessions. And the rooms are going to kind of get reset as those sessions take place and people switch from room to room. So, you know, be intentional about trying to sit with new people, making new connections. And then I think it's also a unique idea. Obviously, not everyone needs to do this, but and I should have prepared better and had an example. But 2 years ago, we had two ladies come from basically Greater Toronto. So they came, they drove down from Canada. They printed out 4x6 postcards. And then they hole punched the postcard and they attached a hockey stick keychain to the postcard. And then they took a bag of single serve potato chips that were ketchup flavored, which is not common in the United States, but evidently in Canada, it is a, it's a common flavor and it's unique. Mm-hmm. So it was like a spicy ketchup potato chip. They rubber banded the postcard, the hockey keychain and the potato chip together. And then they actually went out and introduced themselves to people at the table and handed them that physical item. I mean, talking about having, you know, basically a pop by that you're doing at a conference, who do you think that they were going to think of? You know, I've got the post-it note and hockey note in my closet. Who do you think that I'm going to think of if there's somebody in the greater Toronto area? You know, it's a slam dunk. So if there's something unique about your area that people associate or that you want to share and it's cost effective, definitely do some preparation and see if there's something that you can bring. When I went down to Agent Rise Conference, my wife and I own a coffee brand. And I brought, you know, 4 or 5 bags of coffee with me and gave out, I think I gave you one of the bags.
Yeah, so it was good.
So that's something that for me that I usually do when I'm attending conferences is bring a little, you know, pop by. I don't do it for everybody, but, you know, bring a little bit of it from the people that I'm spending time with or that, you know, I want to make sure that I cement a relationship with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was good. That was good. That's a whole nother podcast we could do. About your relationship with the coffee business and all that. But that was delicious. And that was a great gesture. And yeah, I absolutely, the cool part about it was, just to kind of dig into, to solidify your point here, is that I remember the packaging looked like a ticket from the Kentucky Derby, right? I don't bet a lot on horses and stuff like that, but I remember that fact. And I know, like, there's no question, there's no doubt in my mind, like, when I think of Scott Hag, I know you're from Louisville, Kentucky. It's just like, it just, that connection. I didn't realize how intentional you were being with it. So, but that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. And what a great advice to people. It doesn't have to be anything like extravagant, but something just that people will think of you when they have somebody move into that city or state.
Yeah. For sure. One of my, you know, it's weird the relationships that we make through the conferences and things like that. One of my actually best friends that I talk to probably weekly online, he lives in Russellville, Arkansas. He owns an independent brokerage there. He and I have attended a couple other conferences together. And when we first met, like, I actually had to go back through my business cards and check. He actually did a custom printed business card that was his contact information. On the back side of it, it had the Distilled logo. And it said on there, as a reminder, we met at Real Estate Distilled and it had the year. So he did a custom business card for the event. And I also thought that was brilliant. I've never seen that before.
I'm going to steal that one for the Asian Rise Summit for sure. I love that. That's such a good idea. Cause honestly, you can get a run of, you know, a few business cards and it's not really that expensive.
Yeah. You're like $25 for like 250 of them. Yeah,
just a little bit of planning ahead. What a great, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that. What else you got? And now I'm like, I can't wait for the next thing.
You know, some of the tips I have are more logistics, but also and not necessarily related to building business, but just as they're coming to me, I'm just going to rattle them off.
Yeah.
So go ahead and get Uber or Lyft or some other rideshare service installed on your phone. You want to go ahead and get that done. Make sure your payment is updated on there, so it's super easy to do. The event might provide a shuttle, but there might be a time where you want to just go out and do your own thing, hit the Walgreens or, you know, check out a different dinner location or something like that. So go ahead and get that done, get it out of the way. And I think that, unfortunately, as real estate agents, in my experience, we want to not let people know that we're traveling and that we're always available to them. But I do think that it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and set up on a vacation autoresponder on your email. Let people know that your communication is going to be delayed. You don't have to let them know that you're out of town. Let them know you're investing in yourself and that you're learning to be better and that you will respond to them later that night. That way you can be present at the conference and actually listen to the speakers and learn. And the same thing for your voicemail. Obviously, you can check the voicemails at the break. You can respond to people, but set up a voicemail greeting that tells people, hey, I'm in an all day learning session today. My communication with you might be delayed. You know, please give me a little bit of grace. As we get to breaks or finish for the day, I'll return your call. That way you're not tempted to every time your phone rings, take it and step out into the hallway. I mean, it never fails that there's, you know, a gaggle of agents pacing the hallway on their phone during a session. And it's like,
so true.
Couldn't that have waited 40 minutes? No, maybe it couldn't. Obviously, you know, if you've got a transaction that you're trying to keep together, but I think for the vast majority of the people, they could have set up a greeting and given themselves a little bit of time. So, you know, that's also a really easy win. And I think that, you know, we already kind of talked about being intentional about your meals. But pre-scheduling too. If the conference doesn't offer breakfast as part of the event, find out who you're going to have breakfast with, like, in advance. Like, hey, I'm staying at the host hotel. Are you staying at the host hotel? Let's meet up at 7:30 and have breakfast. And it's a before your day ever starts, super chill, really getting to know someone, understanding their business, and be intentional about who that's going to be with. And it doesn't have to be one-on-one. You know, two or three other people. I think if you get more than four, it's really hard to be intentional about building a relationship. But, you know, getting those people in advance and scheduling those is really important. Something that you can do. And then I'm just going to hit on this. Digital business cards, I think, make a lot of sense for a lot of situations. But they do have a fatal flaw. And if I can find my stack here on my cluttered desk, but a business card, and these are not all from conferences, but, you know, here's a stack of business cards that I have. And each one of those business cards is a physical and tactile reminder of following up with this person. And if you do a digital business card, yes, your contact information goes into their phone. But there's no reminder at the end of the conference to follow up with that person, to be intentional about reaching back out, to set up accountability sessions. You know, that's one of the things that makes a lot of sense from these people that you meet. Like, hey, we're both at the conference. You know, I'm going to spend Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at the conference. I'm going to be Friday catching back up in my work life. I'm going to do Saturday and Sunday with my kids and family. Let's schedule a meet on Monday or Tuesday and dig back into our notes together. Figure out what we're going to implement, and then let's set up an accountability plan. Like, we're going to check back in 4 weeks, and did you implement these three items?
That's a great idea.
Similar to a book club. You know, book clubs are great because you know that you all have to show up on XYZ date, and you have to have the book read. It's not necessarily like the discussion. It's the accountability, because otherwise you're showing up and you're like, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about because I didn't make it to that chapter.
Yeah. It's a little embarrassing, but I like to going back to the business cards. Something I do is when somebody gives me a business card, I'm intentional about making a note on that business card, something we talked about, a minor detail about their life, something. I just, you know, favorite color is blue. I don't, whatever it is, I try to, cause it solidifies them in my mind a little more. And I have a little detail for the next time I talk to them. You know, it could be another month before I have another conversation with them. might even be the following year that we meet back in at the conference, but I'll have that little bit of that little detail that just is, at the very least, it's endearing to them if you remember.
Yeah.
100%. And at the most, you it just helps you make a connection, you know. So one thing I try to do.
I think that this is kind of getting more into general business and not just necessarily at conferences, but mm-hmm. this is my business card holder. I have a couple of different ones, but you know, it's a unique, you know, species of wood. Mm-hmm. So when I'm giving someone a business card, it starts a conversation just from what I'm getting the business card out of.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like you, I leave my business card backs blank because mm-hmm. I want someone to be able to have that opportunity to write on the back and do something. It's not coded, you know? So I do think that there's being intentional about when you're giving someone a business card. And I train my agents when they're doing networking events in general, like giving someone a business card is an invitation to ask for their card. So I'm only giving cards to people whose contact information I want. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that I want them to have my information. I want their information because I'm going to control the follow-up. So yeah, when the event's over, I'm reaching out to them on Facebook, making sure we're connected. I'm sending them an email, reminding them what market I'm in. I'm asking if they want to be part of an accountability group and so we can implement things. Mm-hmm. I'm double checking to make sure I know what territories they cover for referral opportunities. Real Estate Distilled as a conference, we have a referral directory that we do that's map based. So I'm, you know, not all conferences do that, and if they don't, then you need to generate your own.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty good memory, but be honest, you know, it's not what it used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So especially it's really hard to remember.
Yeah. Especially when you're absorbing all the information just from the speakers and the conference alone, it's really tough to, cause it's like a fire hose sometimes. Oh, often when you go to a conference. So
yeah. You and I were talking like right before we started recording and, you know, I was asking you about where you are because you go to a conference and you tell people that you're in Atlanta, but mm-hmm. Atlanta is a huge city. It takes an hour and a half to drive, you know, north to south of it practically.
Yep.
So there's a subsection of Atlanta that you work. So you want people to remember you for the actual territories that you cover. So putting a pin on, you know, southern part of Atlanta in Fayetteville or mm-hmm. is it Fayette County?
Yeah. Fayetteville is part of Fayette County. Okay. A lot of people know Peachtree City because we have, it's unique with golf carts. There's 100 miles of golf cart paths.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously what you want people to remember you for. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you would take a referral for anywhere in the metro Atlanta area, but as you're building out your team and have someone that could help with that, but
yep.
you know,
yep.
making sure that they know that you're in Fayette County, in Fayetteville and Peachtree City, that's super important.
Yeah. If they want me specifically working the deal and not one of my team members, which they're very good and very competent, but if you want me to do it, then it's got to be in the southern side of Atlanta.
Yeah. So putting those, you know, people on a map so you can actually see where they're located at. And then when you need to refer to it, like, oh, I can't remember who I know in Colorado Springs, and like zoom in on the map and see who has a pin there. It's like, oh yeah, so-and-so's there, or, you know, this is who I know that's in Indianapolis. And you know, obviously you know a ton of people across the country. We all have multiple connections. Not everyone's active on social media and doesn't always stay top of mind. But once you put someone on your referral map, they're there forever.
Yeah. I love that. Awesome. What else you got for us?
So I think that also, you know, just a few things that we talk about for packing. Mm-hmm. So obviously you're going to be away from your home for a while. You're packing your suitcase, you're packing your travel bag. I will just say that for me, changing from a satchel or messenger style bag to a backpack for my laptop and most of my stuff was a huge game changer for travel. Being able to throw, you know, backpack on, walk through the airplane easy, walk through crowds, have something, you know, completely here instead of just all my weight on one shoulder, you know, not hurting from carrying that big thing, not bumping into the aisles and things. So that was a big thing. Like, I think do a backpack. There's a reason why kids use backpacks. I don't know why we thought it wasn't, you know, cool or fashionable to do it. And we needed briefcases and other things, but a backpack is huge, easy to do. And then get a battery pack. There's never a good opportunity to charge your phone, and you don't want to have, you know, thoughts that your phone's going to die and it's going to keep you from participating or doing something. Get a battery pack and bring it with you, you know, preferably one that's, you know, fairly large, that you can charge your phone 3 or 4 times with. You know, that way you can stay connected, not have to worry about anything. Super easy. Layers, you know, the room will inevitably be too hot or too cold for you. So, you know, a flannel like this, a jacket, something that you can change into, you know, down to a t-shirt if you get hot. I think that's important that you bring layers so you can dress for whatever the room is. Inevitably, like I said, they'll try to make adjustments, but it won't be a perfect match for you. So being able to do that so you're comfortable. When you're not comfortable, it's hard for you to concentrate on the content.
Yeah,
so making sure you're comfortable.
Point.
And that goes, I don't want to single out, but I'm a tennis shoe guy. So, you know, jeans, tennis shoes, you're going to be doing a little bit more walking probably than normal. Just wear comfortable shoes. You know, figure out what that looks like for you. Wear comfortable shoes. I think that's probably one of the things too. A water bottle is a really good idea too. Obviously they're probably going to have beverages there, but you want something that you can keep with you, continue to make healthy choices while you're traveling. You're already going to be probably eating a little bit worse than you might at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, taking in fewer calories through a water bottle, just staying hydrated in those big rooms, all the people around is a good idea. And of course, keeps you from having to get up and, you know, during the sessions, having something with you. And then a notebook seems really simple. A lot of conferences are going to give you something to take notes in, but bring a notebook and a pen just in case. And then also maybe something that you decide that you want to use for yourself. It's important that you're putting all of your notes into one place. You don't want to take the notepad from the hotel room and try to scribble on this and have these different small little pages. And, you know, it's important that you're taking adequate notes so you have something to refer back to. So I think bringing a notepad and a pen that you know you're going to have and that it's going to have all your information on it is something really easy and basic to do as well. So,
yeah, I'm a. That's one of my pet peeves is I have to have my own pen, and it has to write a certain way. Like I just have this, if it flows too easily, it's an issue for me.
Yeah.
If it like sticks, I can feel it. Like if it like scratches the page, it drives me crazy. It's like this tactile thing almost.
Well,
so, I always bring my own pens.
I'm kind of the same way about, and it's not the, you mentioned, flowing too smoothly. Like, if a pen flows too smoothly, then my handwriting gets crazy.
Yep.
And it's hard for me to read it.
Yeah.
So
the same
just,
way.
You know, obviously whatever is going to allow you to be able to read your notes. I used to type a lot of them on my laptop, and I still do that for some sessions, but I think, you know, there's obviously something about physically writing it for comprehension and retention of the information as well.
Yeah, and just being engaged in that analog way is
100%.
It speaks to the brain a little more, gets deeper in there. Well, cool. Well, is there any question that I didn't ask you that I should have asked?
I don't think so. I mean, we covered several different things. Like I said, I'm not really sure if I had it organized in the best order for people to digest it, but I definitely think there's some nuggets in there for people. And you know, I'm interested to hear what other people do in their travel and what they might have. I'm still, like you mentioned, I'm going to be doing a webinar next week about it. So these are the early notes that I have for things. And I'm sure I'll have a few other nuggets ready for next week.
Yeah. Will that be live in your Facebook group? Like once you do it, are you?
I'll try to record it. But it's probably not going to go live into the Facebook group.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Just checking, because I think this is going to air just after, this will be published just after that session. So, but I know that joining the Facebook group and asking follow-up questions from this podcast recording, if you missed the webinar, is completely the next best thing.
Yeah, 100%. Jump in there, ask questions. And then of course, you know, most of the conferences that you're going to attend, they're going to have some sort of communication channel like that. And that's going to be the best place to meet other people who are attending. If there's not been a post started, you know, get permission from the conference organizer and say, hey, can I throw a post up asking who's going to be attending? Or is there a directory of people who are attending? You know, I want to go ahead and start reaching out to people, making some connections. I know that if someone asked me that, I would, you know, give permission. I think most people would.
Yeah, 100%. And that's some of the best advice that I got a while back was like find out who's going and make a list of at least three people that you want to connect with. Where it's like if you connect with no one else, it's like those three people you want to connect with. And, you know, usually it's sometimes it doesn't always work out, you know, because if it's a speaker that is only there for an hour, then it's tough to connect with them on that level. But it's a good, having a plan going into it is way better than just kind of showing up and winging it the whole time. Because there's a level of stress to involve with that, you know, even if you're not, a lot of people aren't planners. Like I do tend to kind of, you know, it'll work out kind of attitude with sometimes, especially traveling, but think of it as you're investing in your business and in the growth of your business. And that always deserves a little bit of planning for sure.
You know, I think as real estate agents and, you know, as a broker, when I'm training a new agent, one of the things that I concentrate on in the very beginning, it seems silly, but one of the things I concentrate on in the very beginning is helping my agents understand that they don't have to know every single answer right at the time. So I tell them, like, the sooner I can get you to confidently say, I don't know, or I'm not sure, let me look it up and get back to you, the sooner I can help you understand that that's okay to say and you have the confidence to share that, the smoother everything else goes.
Yeah.
It's impossible for you to know everything about, you know, every single situation. Mm-hmm. So on the flip side of, for a conference, you know, knowing a few people in advance, doing some prep work, having that, so you have the confidence to go directly in and you're talking to Jacob, talking, you know, to TJ, I'm going to talk to Neil, talk to Mindy. Like if those are people that you're trying to, you know, make a connection with immediately, having, you know, a plan in place makes it a lot less stressful. And when you're lowering the stress, you're able to concentrate on all the other little things that make the experience that much better.
Yeah, 100%. This has been awesome. I've gotten a ton out of this. So Scott, thanks so much for coming on the show. A little sneak preview, you're definitely coming down in April to the Agent Rise Summit.
Yes.
Agent Rise Summit. So I think we're talking about having you give a keynote. I don't know. We'll see. That's still in the works. You'll definitely be there with all of your knowledge and sharing. So if you miss Real Estate Distilled, you can still catch Scott at Agent Rise in April. But I highly recommend they're both high quality conferences. But they're definitely different in their own right. So check them both out. But Real Estate Distilled, February 27th,
27th, 28th, and 29th.
All right. And I'll have links to the website in the show notes and link to the Facebook group. And you can always reach out to me and or shoot a message to Scott through the Facebook group. And again, man, thanks so much. A ton of good information.
Awesome. I really appreciate it. Thanks, TJ.